2 Kings 8. Then Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, "Arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine, and furthermore, it'll come upon the land for 7 years." Right? Now remember, this is the woman that the man of God gave a prophecy that this time next year you would hold a baby. And indeed, she had the baby. But in the due course of time, the child fell ill, and eventually the child died. We remember this story, right? And this woman settled up and went to the man of the Lord. And it says, "As the Lord lives, I will not leave you. You need to come with me to the son that you gave me. I did not request for a son from you. And I did tell you, don't deceive me. Don't play with my emotions. Don't play with my feelings." And long story short, the man of God went with her to a place. And remember, this woman had offered the man of God a room. So this room was dedicated to the prophet Elisha. And she had taken the child into the prophet's room and placed the child on the prophet's bed. And she went and got the man of God. And the man of God came and cried out to Jehovah to restore the child back to life. And Jehovah restored the child back to life. So this is what we're talking about. Now, not only that, but now the Lord is saying, it says, "Elisha, go and warn the woman that I have called for a famine, and the famine is going to remain for 7 years in the land." Now, here's something. I'm not preaching about this, but it is coming so strong in my spirit. Now, this woman, out of her own accord, out of her own volition, she made a place. Remember, she said to the husband, "I perceive that this man who passes by us all the time, this is the man of God." And the woman says, "Let's make him a place so that every time this man of God passes by, he would come in here and rest." Right? Now, so she does these things for the man of God called Elisha. And what happens next? We see that the man of God wants to thank her. And the man of God says, "What can be done for this woman?" And it is found out that this woman is rich and she's well connected. She does not need anything except that she did not have a child. Now, because of what she had done for the man of God, the provisions, her offerings, her givings to the man of God, this woman has got a child. All right? Now, the Bible says something interesting. The word of the Lord says the husband was old. Now, it's very possible that here we are back to the Abraham situation. We don't know how old she was, but the Bible says the husband was old. Perhaps the husband could not be able to make a child because of age. Now, you can see that already the child, it is a bigger miracle than what we actually think. Because it could be that this man was now at an age where he could not make a baby. But you see, because of what this woman has done for the man of God, then she had a baby in hand. But not only that, she continues to reap the fruits of what she had done, receiving a servant of the Lord. The Lord says, "Go and warn her. There's going to be a famine. I've called for a famine, and it's going to be in this land for 7 years. Go and warn the woman to go out." And the word of the Lord says she went to live with the Philistines. Now, you see, she did not realize at the time that what she was doing for the man of God, she was opening for herself a very big door of blessings. Be careful what to do for a true servant of God. Be careful what to do in a true church of Jesus Christ. Be careful what to do in a place where God is. Then Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, "Arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine, and furthermore, it will come upon the land for 7 years. She's warned to go. God is preserving her. Now imagine how many people did not know that there was going to come a famine. And we don't even know how they fared in the famine for a good 7 years. We know how bad it was when there was famine for 7 years in Egypt. It was very bad. There were 7 years in the land and there was no food anywhere. And everybody made their way to Egypt because that's where there was stores of food because of Joseph. So 7 years is not a child's play. 7 years of famine. And yet the favor of God rested upon her. So the woman arose and did according to the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. It came to pass at the end of 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land. She had been gone with her household for 7 years, and when she came back, obviously people had taken over her property. Now she goes to the king to appeal for her house and for her land. Then the king talked with Gehazi, the Gehazi diagnosis. Then the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, the was servant of the man of God, the former, fell from grace, fell dismally, fell very badly, the former servant of God. Then the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, "Tell me, please, all the great things Elisha has done. Please tell me. These things were spoken of, they were known in the land of the great signs, miracles, and wonders that the Lord used to perform through the hands of Elisha." Now, that's why the king is asking Gehazi to please relate to him of these wonderful things that the Lord did through this man of God. Now, it happened as he was telling the king. So Gehazi knew exactly what was happening, because some of these things, or perhaps most of these things, they happened while Gehazi was there. Great signs, miracles, and wonders, they happened while Gehazi was there. But how is it that now we find Gehazi not with the men of God, but we find Gehazi with the king, and the king had summoned him because it was known that this man once served the men of the Lord? How is it that he's sitting with the king, narrating to the king of the signs and the wonders and the miracles that God did, and yet Gehazi is no longer the servant of the men of God? What happened? So he says, as he was telling the king, so Gehazi knew exactly what happened. But behold, when Gehazi was with the man of God, Elisha, Gehazi was never moved. He was unmoved by the signs and the miracles and the wonders. He was untouched by the signs and the miracles and the wonders. His heart was not moved. His heart was not touched by the signs and the miracles and the wonders. What kind of man is this? He needs to be diagnosed. There is something not right with him. Now, it happened as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead to life, that there was the woman whose son he had restored to life, appealing to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, "My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life." There is still evidence. The prophets in the olden days, in the Old Testament, they did not have churches. They did not run churches. These were prophets of the nation, in the true sense of the word. These were prophets of the nations. Elisha was a prophet of the nation of Israel, and he had a servant. The servant's name was Gehazi. Gehazi was the closest person to Elisha. They ate the same food, they did the same things together, they live in the same house together. If there's one person who knew the heartbeat of Elisha, it was Gehazi. The presence of God, the glory of the Lord was revealed, was upon them. The very presence of God was there. The power of God was unveiled, the signs and wonders and miracles were happening. People were raised back from the dead. The sicknesses and diseases were healed. And not only that, but true signs were being done. And yet Gehazi was right there in that environment. And yet Gehazi was unchanged. He was untouched. He was unmoved. You see, it does not matter how close you may be to a true servant of God. You may be in a true church where God is, where the presence of the Lord is, and yet you are untouched by what is being said, by what is happening. You are untouched by the environment. It could be that you could be in a true church of Jesus Christ where there are testimonies, evidences of the power of God, evidences of what God is doing, and people can testify around you, but you will not testify, but you are not touched. It could be that people can talk so well about your ministry, can talk so well about your minister, can talk so well about the things that God is doing, but you. You see, association without a right heart in the things of the Spirit does not avail. Association without the right heart. Planted by God, Gehazi, planted by God, like some of us in our churches, in our ministries, planted by God, sent there by God, led there by God, guided by the Holy Spirit, and yet we remain untouched in our hearts. When people are testifying, it's like one of those things, routine. When people are caught in the Spirit, it's one of those things for you, it's routine. When people are slain in the Spirit, it does not register to you. It doesn't mean anything to you. When people are standing up to testify of things that nobody could do for them, but God Himself, it does not mean anything to you. You have a problem, and you have a Gehazi problem. You have a heart problem. You need a heart transplant. You need a heart transplant. How is it that in such an environment, how is it in this proximity, in this closeness, you are untouched and you don't see? You have a problem. Hallelujah. You have a Gehazi problem. Now, this Gehazi problem, 2 Kings chapter number 4, verses 29 to 31. This is the pandemic that we find in church today. Christians are unchanged. They are untouched. Different moves of the Holy Spirit, they come and go. They are unchanged. They are untouched. Everything has become commonplace to them. So used to it. It does them no good whatsoever. Doesn't please God, not one bit. Not one bit. Then he said to Gehazi, that 2 Kings chapter number 4, verses 29 to 31. That he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready and take my staff. Now, this is the instance when the child had died and the woman had come to the prophet Elisha. Now, the prophet Elisha, he takes his staff, he gives his staff. Knowing Elisha did nothing by guesswork. Knowing Elisha did nothing by guesswork. So when he takes his staff, he knows what he was doing. And he gives his staff to Gehazi, right? Get yourself ready, it says to Gehazi, get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him. But lay my staff on the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you, saying to prophet Elisha. So Elisha arose and followed the woman. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them. The man of God did not want to go and do it himself. He sent the servant. He trusted his servant. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, the child has not awakened. The man of God gave his staff to Gehazi. But you see, the anointing of Elisha could not operate. The anointing, not that there was nothing on that staff. The anointing of the man of God could not operate because Gehazi was not connected through his heart to the man of God. Gehazi was untouched. This man of God had done a lot of things in the presence of Gehazi. And some of the things he sent Gehazi, he told Gehazi, Gehazi was used as an instrument, but the anointing of God could not operate. That means the anointing was just passing through him. There are people that can even be slain in the spirit, but what came upon them cannot remain on them. Why can it not remain on them? Because of their heart condition. Because every good thing comes out from the heart. Everything comes from the heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of the heart comes the issues of life. Now these are the Christians that they are slain in the spirit, and even after they've been slain in the spirit, nothing happens. There's no visible change. There's no visible difference. Nothing happens. What is the problem? Their hearts are not available. Their bodies are here with us, but their hearts are somewhere else. Their bodies are standing before God, but their hearts are somewhere else. The anointing comes upon them. The anointing goes through them, but the anointing cannot remain on them. These are the people that they can tell you, the ministers who are popular, who are well known, that they've been with them, but there's nothing of those ministers on them. These are the people who will tell about big churches that they've been to. Perhaps some of these churches, truly the presence of God is there, but that none of the presence remains on them. Why is the presence not remaining on you? Because of the heart. Because of the heart. Without the heart, one cannot receive anything from the Lord. Gehazi's body was available to the Lord, but his heart was not available. This is why some people, they may really be serving God so diligently. They may be serving God so passionately. But you see, it's just mechanical. It's just the outward. What they're doing is outward. It does not flow from within. And these are the Christians that nothing, no difference, no change seems to happen in their lives. And if you don't know, you might be blaming the devil, and sometimes you might be saying that God is unfair. Why is nothing happening for this believer? But it could be these are the believers that are full of knowledge. Full of knowledge. Talking scriptures. They have knowledge of how church operates, how the things of God operate, but they have not themselves connected personally. And such was this man, Gehazi. It's a very sad story. It's a very sad story. Elisha had to kick him out. Imagine being kicked out of a church, a true living church of Jesus. Imagine being kicked out of serving in a true church of Jesus Christ. Be kicked out. What is a problem? Your heart is a problem. Heart that is unyielded. It could be that you could be in a ministry where God is, where people are testifying, but you are the only one who sees problems. You tell everyone that you are targeted, you are the target. If you are targeted, what is this that is so special with you that we don't have? How is it that you could be targeted? What do you have? Why do you think you are so special that really leadership can target you? A Gehazi attitude. It's a Gehazi mentality. Now, in an environment like that, here's the thing. God cannot move with a Gehazi mentality, with a Gehazi attitude. God cannot move. God cannot use such a person. God cannot bless. Three things in one. With that Gehazi mentality, God can't move on the behalf of that person. Number one. Number two, God can't use that person. Number three, God can't bless that person. And this is exactly what happened to Gehazi. Take my staff. Run ahead of us. Laid on the child's face. God could not use him. The child never woke up. Right? God couldn't use him. God couldn't use him. After serving Elisha for the period of time that he served Elisha, God could not bless him. You can be in the church for the past 20 years, could be really living church of God, but let's see what you're living with. You see, it's a spiritual issue. Gehazi did not understand this. It's a spiritual issue. It's not something that you do on the outside. You can manipulate men, but you cannot manipulate God. You can deceive people, but you cannot deceive God. You can lie to people, but you cannot lie to God. See, Gehazi did not know this. Not all churches are fake. Not all ministers are fake. But the question is, have you ever opened yourself to a true minister? Have you ever opened yourself to a true church? Not every church is fake. Not every minister is fake. But have you opened yourself up to a true servant of God, to a true church of Jesus Christ? 2 Kings, we're still in chapter 4, right? Let's go to 42 to verse 44. The Gehazi mentality. God can't move in that environment. God can't use in that environment. God can't bless in that environment. The Gehazi mentality. No heart connection. No change of heart. No transformation. No nothing. Everything is mechanical. Everything is mechanical. There's no heart involvement. Now, 2 Kings 4, 42 to 40, to 44. Then a man came from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley bread and newly ripened grain in the knapsack. And he said, give it to the people. Now this Elisha says, give it to the people that they may eat. But his servant Gehazi said, what? Shall I set this before 100 men? The Gehazi attitude. The Gehazi mentality. Now, Elisha is Gehazi's leader. But already you can see here an attitude of insubordination to the leader. Now, the servant of Elisha is assuming leadership over Elisha. You see, this is the Gehazi mentality. This is the Gehazi attitude. This is the self-deception that we find in church. That the people of God, they cannot be led. When they are told, they want to tell. When they are led, they want to lead. Insubordination has got disrespect in it. He assumes, he presumed to correct the leader. But here's the thing, Elisha was not asking him. Elisha was not giving him a suggestion. Can you see that? This is what happens with the people with the Gehazi attitude, with the Gehazi mentality in our churches. They cannot be led. They are full of insubordination. They cannot be led. They cannot be told. You tell them one thing, they do another. You tell them one thing, they do the opposite of what you told them. The word of God comes and says 1, 2, and 3. But the next thing you see, the people are going against the 3 that has been said. It's a Gehazi attitude. It's a Gehazi mentality. It's a mentality of self-deception. Self-deceived. It's an attitude of insubordination. Cannot submit. Cannot submit. This is the reason why, where there is insubordination, God cannot move. God cannot bless. God cannot use that vessel. Cannot. Who's the leader here? Who's leading who? Who's leading who? And this attitude and this it breeds chaos. Where there's no established leadership, and where that established leadership is not being hearkened to, there is chaos. People are unrestrained. There are a lot of Christians who are out of control. They are unrestrained. They can't be led by anyone. When you try to lead them, they roll their eyes at you. When you try to lead them, they give you facial expressions. When you try to lead them, their whole body rejects what you're saying. Okay, no problem. Let's look at you. Number one, is God moving on your life? Yes or no? Number two, let's look at you. Is God using you? Yes or no? Let's look at you. Let's see the blessings of God in your life. Then we'll see whether you are Gehazi or not. I say whether you are Gehazi or not. This is the situation. People, they've been born again for the past 30 years, but they've got nothing to show for it. There are people who have been born again for the past 30 years, and yet they still cannot hear the voice of God for themselves. God can't move. Can't move. Can't move. Their heart is untouched. Their heart is untransformed. Their heart is unchanged. Gehazi was serving the man of God with a heart that was untouched, a heart that was untransformed, a heart that was unchanged. Unchanged. Can I tell you something, church? You cannot bypass the processes of God. Cannot bypass the process of God. Don't run for prayer line. Don't run for deliverance. Don't run for prophecy. Mm-mm. You can't bypass God's processes. This is the reason why, although some people have been to a million prayer lines, they still remain the same. Their situation remains. Though people have been to a million deliverances, but their situation remains the same or even gets worse. This is the reason why people have received 10,000 prophecies, but not even a single one of them has ever come to pass. You cannot bypass God's processes. And please, friends, let us understand that God does not look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God does not look at the outward appearance of man, but God looks at the heart. God deals with us. It deals with us through the heart. When God deals with a person, and you know why heart? Because heart, that's sincerity. Heart, that's honesty. Heart, that's the real you. The real you. Now, here's a man who is standing up against his leader. Some people, because of the rights these days, they stand up to leadership and begin to have their 2 cents worth, which is totally unspiritual. But his servant said, What shall I set this before 100 men? He said again, Elisha, that was just the grace of God because of what God wanted to do. Now, Elisha said for the second time, if this was Elijah, there was going to be no second time. You see, this is Elisha. Elijah, there was going to be no second time. There was no second time with Elijah. A captain of 50 sent by Ahab went to Elijah. Elijah says, if I be a man of God, fire shall fall from heaven and consume you. And all 51 of them died on the spot. Fire came. The king sent another captain of 50. And they stood before Elijah. Elijah says, if I be a man of God, let fire fall from heaven and consume you. And indeed, fire fell from heaven and consumed them. You see, Elijah, there was no second time. The only man who was spared is a man who came with humility. He says, man of God, don't kill me. I know you are a true servant. Sir, have mercy on your servant, please. And these men that are with me, please don't kill us. That's the one, humility. You see, humility. Humility. The things of God, humility. Hallelujah. In fact, Elisha would have fired Gehazi very early in the morning. Would have fired. There are a lot of people that we need to fire. I say there are a lot of people that God is telling us to fire them. And we've been keeping them, but God says fire. And firing is still part of God's process of correction. Still part of God's process of building. Still part of God's process of molding. Let us not be afraid to fire. People in business, fire. If needs be, fire. There are people who will never learn until they are fired. I'll never learn. You can have 100 meetings with them in 1 week. They'll never change till you fire them. Hallelujah. That's why eventually Elisha had to fire this man. Now Elisha said again for the second time, give it to the people that they may eat, for thus says the Lord. You see, Elisha is giving an instruction because he heard from the Lord. Now this fool is questioning and it does not know where this instruction came from. You see, that's why God has got leadership. And he expects us to follow our leaders. What our leaders are telling us, we don't know where it comes from. But because we assume to be more knowing, like Gehazi, we're not aware that leaders have been put there by God. And if we go against the leaders, the Bible says we're going against God himself. We're going against God himself. So some people, since they've started going against their leaders, nothing is moving. Some of us, we are despising our leaders in our hearts. Some of us are rebellious in our hearts. We don't show it, but it's inside our heart. Rebellion in the heart. No breakthrough, no, but it's the rebellion in the heart. God is not moving for me. God is not doing this for me. No, but the rebellion is in the heart. Now, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over. Gehazi, you don't know where I got this instruction from. Just do what I tell you to do. So he said it before them. Now, this is Gehazi. Finally does it. So he said it before them, and they ate and had some left over according to the word of the Lord. Now this is a miracle of multiplication of bread that the Lord performed through the hand of the man of God, Elisha. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the insubordination. We're talking about the rebellious spirit that in Gehazi, this is what he suffered from. A rebellious spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, this led to this. You see, because these things, they were manifesting themselves gradually. At every turn, they were manifesting themselves. Where there was an opportunity, they were manifesting themselves, but in small proportions. But now, and it's like that with all of us. Whatever we are not dealing with, like we said on Wednesday, whatever we're not dealing it with that we are keeping in our hearts, it manifests in small proportions until there is that one day of total blow up. I say, until there's that day of total blow up. Said, oh, this brother was so humble. Oh, this sister was so humble. Wait until they blow up one day. Wait, one day they'll blow up. You'll be shocked. The thing they were keeping inside them, that they were not dealing with it completely. Now, it led to this eventually. 2 Kings 5, 20 and 21. We know the story. We read it on Wednesday. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, look, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian while not receiving from his hands what he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him. So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? Excuse me. Now, this is total rebellion against Elisha. This is a blow up of what has always been in Gehazi, but Gehazi never dealt with it. Let's understand that. The thing that we are nursing and not confronting and dealing with it, it keeps growing. Whatever you nurse, it grows. Whatever the problem may be, it grows. In this instance, it had fully grown, and this man had not dealt with it, and it became a total rebellion against the man of God, against God. God did not permit them to receive anything from Naaman. God did not permit them to receive anything from Naaman. But Gehazi went and took. Elisha said, no, we're not taking anything from you. And Gehazi was there. The man of God says, no, we're not taking anything from you. All right? But because of this attitude of his, he went after the man Naaman and took what the man of God says they were not supposed to take. Total rebellion. And please do remember that he went after Naaman and he got a lot of money, silver and a change of raiment, and he came back and he hid them and he went to serve the men of God as usual. You see the deception, the self-deception? There are a lot of us, when we're out of the church, whatever we're doing the thing that are opposite, the thing that are contrary to the will of the Lord, and we come back to church looking innocent, and we go back to serving, or we go back to worship, whatever that we are doing, and we think that God is altogether like us, and we think that God is not seeing us, but we are forgetting that God is an all-seeing God. But now, here's the thing, even though we are doing this thing, God still cannot move over you. God can still not use you. God can still not bless you. Why don't you come up to your senses? Gehazi comes. He hides the stuff. And he goes back to serve again. And the man of God says, where did you go? Some of us, we might not have that opportunity of being asked that. Instead of confronting ourselves, all the wrong we do outside. Gehazi represents the unchanged Christians, untransformed Christians. In short, they are called carnal Christians. Carnal is the opposite of spiritual. They are the opposite of spiritual. These are Christians, but they are the opposite of spiritual. Matthew 10:41, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Now this scripture is very telling that Gehazi did more than receive Elisha. This scripture does not say maybe. If you receive a prophet or you receive a righteous man, or if you receive anyone sent by Jesus, anyone who's on mission for Christ, sent by Christ, he says, you shall receive a reward, blessings and rewards, right? But Naaman, why am I saying Naaman? But Gehazi did more than just receive Elisha. Now, how much more was this man supposed to receive the rewards and the blessings? Because he did more than receive. We are promised here, right? Rewards and blessings for receiving. But Gehazi did more than that. But what did Gehazi get? A curse. The opposite of the reward. A curse. He received a curse. For all his time that he's been with the men of God, the end of it was not good. The end of it was not good. Jesus is saying here, this is a principle. If you receive a true servant of God, God will bless you for it. God will reward you for it. The grace of God that is upon that person, the grace of God that is upon that ministry, that will become a fountain from which you will draw. Now, whether you are aware of it or not aware of it, it does not matter. Every true servant of God has the grace of God upon them. And the Lord is saying that grace is going to operate for you. The woman, the Shunammite woman, she had a baby and she didn't have, that woman didn't have a baby. But because she received the man of God, Elisha. And not only that, we also see that when there was going to be a famine, God preserved her for 7 years. Now, not only that, when she came back to her own country, the king instructed an officer, say, go with her, find a house, find a land, restore everything back, and the profit of 7 years while she was away. No, this is what the Lord is saying. Now imagine how much more was supposed to come upon Gehazi.
Do we understand when we close our hearts to the things of God, how much damage we do to ourselves? Do we understand? When we go against the grain, when we go against what God is saying, do we understand the pain? Do we understand the grief and the sorrow that we bring upon ourselves? God is not bringing it, but we bring it upon ourselves. But I say this for the last time. For the last time today. If you receive a true servant, a true ministry, out of the purity of your heart, and God does not bless you, you are following a wrong person and you're in a wrong place. Please don't edit what I said. I said with a pure heart. Your heart involved. It is not possible, according to Scripture, that you can follow a true servant of God and God doesn't bless you for it. That you can be in a true church of God and God doesn't bless you for it. With your heart involved. Honestly and sincerely. It's impossible. It's impossible. Now, this then brings into question the Christians for whom nothing is happening. But now we know they have a Gehazi attitude. They've got a Gehazi mentality. Their hearts are unmoved. Their hearts are untouched. Their hearts are unchanged. Their hearts are untransformed. That's what God is saying today. The sooner you open up, the sooner you'll see God move on your behalf. I say, the sooner you open up, the sooner you'll see the Lord move on your behalf. We find the diagnosis for this man in Romans chapter 8, verses 5-8. Jesus says, if you receive those whom I sent, you receive me. And if you receive me, you receive the one who sent me. So he's saying, if you receive one person that Jesus has sent, you're not only receiving Jesus, but you're receiving Jesus and you're receiving God. Oh, come on. We knew what happened in the Old Testament where the Ark of the Covenant was. Remember? There would be blessings. There would be blessings. So it says, you receive me and you receive the one who sent me. It is impossible to receive Jesus, to receive God, and nothing changes in your life. It's impossible. It's impossible. Impossible. With the right heart. Amen. If nothing is changing, it's your heart. Your heart is making it impossible for God to move on your behalf. It's making it impossible for God to bless. It's making it impossible for God to use you. Am I simplifying it enough? Yeah. If you receive the one I send, you're not only receiving that person, you're receiving me. You're not only receiving me, you're receiving the Father. Amen. So we all come. You welcomed us. We all come. Romans chapter 8, verses 5-8. Now it says, for those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Right? Those who are dominated by their senses,
Those are dominated by their feelings. Those are dominated by their emotions. Those are dominated by their thoughts. These are carnal. These are fleshly. These are not led by the Holy Spirit. They go by what they see. They go by what they hear. They go by what they feel. These are people who go by their feelings, their senses. These are people who go by what is happening. They go by what they want. They follow after their fleshly longings, their fleshly desires. Such was Gehazi. It says, they set their minds on the things of the flesh, not on the things of the spirit. They focus not on the things of the spirit, but they focus on the things of the flesh, on the things of this life, on the things of this world, on worldliness. They are consumed by worldliness. You are a Christian, yes. You are a believer, yes. Are you consumed by spiritual things? No. Are you consumed by earthly things, worldly things? The answer is 100% yes. What's consuming you? What's consuming you? Hallelujah. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Carnal mindedness. That's the diagnosis of Gehazi. Carnal mindedness. He was not mindful of the things of God. He was not mindful of the things of the Spirit. He was mindful of the things of this world. For him, Elisha was a quick way for him to get what he always wanted, that is to be rich, to have money. There are a lot of people who are in church. They are not focusing on the things of God. They are not focusing on the word of God. They are focusing on God giving me a house, on God giving me a business, on God giving me a car. No, you are carnally minded. You are setting your mind on the things of the flesh and not on the things of the spirit. Now you notice God is not blessing. God doesn't bless a carnal mind. You want God to bless you so that you can prove to some people. Carnally minded, fleshly minded. So that people can know that I'm a Christian. So that people can know that I serve a living God. So that people can know that I serve a God who blesses. No, you are carnally minded. You have set your mind on the things of the flesh. You want God to come through for you so that you can go and set scores with some people. You are carnally minded. You have set your mind on the things of the flesh. And for that reason, you have blocked God from working on your behalf. You did it. Not setting your mind on God, setting your mind on the things of the spirit, nor setting your mind on the things of the flesh. What is there? What I want? God must do it for me. I believe it. I confess it. I claim it. Oh, okay. That's carnality. Aren't you aware that's carnality? That's carnality. How many spiritual blessings do you know? How many of them do you confess? You only know carnal things. How many spiritual blessings are there? How many of them do you believe and do you confess? How many? Nothing. Nothing. Now, that tells you where your mind is set on the things of this world. And such God will not bless. He cannot bless. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind is the enemy of God. What does that mean? The carnal mind is controlled by the devil. Who's the enemy of God? The devil. So those who set their minds on the things of the flesh, they are controlled by Satan. They are controlled by demons, basically. This was the case with Gehazi. Every time you go to prayer, you are weeping before God. You're weeping for the things of this world. Every time you go to prayer, you're weeping before God. You're weeping for the things of this life. And you've been doing this for the past 10 years. But don't you see that you're doing something wrong? Oh, Father, that I may be like others. So you're envious. You envy others. You take the envy to prayer. Do it for me also, that I may be like others. No, no, that's envy. God does not hear a prayer of envy. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Such was Gehazi. That's why he could not be submissive. Carnally minded people are not submissive. Carnally minded people are against the things of God without them even knowing it. They go contrary to the things of God. They go contrary to the word of God. They go contrary to God himself. They go contrary to God's leadership. They go contrary. These are carnal-minded believers. These are Gehazi. Gehazi represents the carnally-minded Christians. They're carnally-minded. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Don't understand that. In the flesh, Gehazi, take my stuff. The stuff cannot work in the hands of Gehazi. But if the same stuff was given to someone else, it was going to work. But it can't operate in the hands of Gehazi. Hey, this is the same thing. People are saying, the word of God does not work. No. The word is not working in your hands. The word has fallen into wrong hands. Your heart is not right. You are trying to use the word with the wrong heart. Now that's why I say, I've believed the word, I've confessed the word, and it's still not happening. No, the word is in wrong hands with you. You've got the hands without the right heart. The word is in the hands, but the heart is wrong. There's no engine to operate the word. Hallelujah. That's why people are confessing things that never come to pass. Confessing things that never come to pass. You see, no heart involvement. The word has fallen into wrong hands without the right heart. What is a right heart? A heart that is receptive. A heart that is being changed by the word. Changed. Transformed. Now, when that person speaks the word, things happen. The changed person, the transformed person, when that person speaks the word, then things happen. Not the unchanged, untransformed person. That one, when they speak, nothing happens. They speak the right word, but nothing happens. Am I talking to somebody today? Matthew 16:23. What a God we serve. But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but you are mindful of the things of man." What is an offense? An offense is a stumbling block. You are not mindful of the things of God, you are mindful of the things of men. That is a carnal mind. So he's telling you, a carnal mind is a stumbling block. He was saying to the devil, "You, Satan, you are a stumbling block to me because you have a carnal mind. You are not mindful of the things of God. You are mindful of the things of men. You are mindful of the things of this life. You are mindful of the things of the world." This is what happens to carnally minded Christians. Their carnality becomes a stumbling block. God cannot move on their behalf. God cannot use them. God cannot bless them. Their carnality, their carnal-mindedness, their carnal mind becomes a stumbling block. What was a stumbling block before Gehazi? His own carnal mind. His own carnal mind. God did not stand, God was never a stumbling block to Gehazi. God is not a stumbling block to any one of us. But for a person who is mindful of the things of this life, mindful of the things of the world, and not mindful of the things of God. This is why we are telling you that that person is being influenced by satanic demonic powers, because Satan is never mindful of the things of God. The devil is always mindful of the things of the world. Gehazi never showed passion such as he did for the riches of Naaman. We never find an account of Gehazi showing such passion for any other thing except for the riches of Naaman. Where does your passion lie? You spirit-filled, tongue-talking. Where does your passion lie? Pastor KP says, let's go and evangelize. We don't see you. But other things were number one that have nothing to do with God. Hallelujah. A carnal mind is contrary to God. A carnal mind is a stumbling block. I'm not moving anywhere. Everything I try, nothing works for me. It seems like everything is working against me. What is the stumbling block? What is the stumbling block? You've been to 100 counselings about this matter, these matters. You've been to 2,000 prayer lines about these matters. We have received 2,500 prophecies about these matters. You've received 1 million deliverances about these matters. You've taken I don't know how many liters of water and oil. You've bought all sorts of things, spiritual items, but nothing is happening. Self-deception. The stumbling block remains inside the person. It's not outside. It's not outside. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to take you to Acts 5 very briefly to show you what happens when God has dealt with the carnal mind in the church. What happens? Acts chapter number 5. We're going to look at the cousins of Gehazi. Acts chapter 5, we see the cousins of Gehazi. The cousins. Acts chapter number 5, verses 1 to 5. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. Gehazi did not lie to Elisha, he lied to God. That's why leprosy came upon him. Gehazi, where did you go? Your servant did not go anywhere. As the Lord lives, in fact, as the Lord lives, your servant did not go anywhere. Did not lie to man. Did not lie to man. Lie to God. This is the thing when we say, we read Isaiah 60 and we say this is what the Lord is saying, the revealed glory of the Lord. In the revealed glory of the Lord, nonsense can't be tolerated. That's why we're talking about even Kushi was leading prayer in the morning to adjust to what God is doing, to adjust to what God is saying. Hallelujah. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. God struck him. Peter just spoke the words. While the men heard the words, the Holy Spirit struck him dead. Now, so great fear came upon all those who heard these things. Now, Ananias and the wife were being carnally minded. This is a couple, husband and wife, that had a carnal mind. The people, out of their own choice, out of their own will, they sold things they had. There was no instruction from the apostles. This was the doing of the Holy Spirit. They sold everything that they had, and they took the prophet, they put it at the feet of the apostles. Now, these ones, not led by the Holy Spirit, but wanting to look spiritual, wanting to seem spiritual, like Gehazi, he sneaked back in and says, your servant has not done anything, your servant has not gone anywhere. God is the all-seeing God. You're not lying to men, but you're lying to God. Now, what did they do? They kept a part of the money. And when they came, they said, this is all. See, God was not going to kill anyone. If they said, this is part of the proceeds for what? Remember, the giving was out of the heart. It was a free will offering. So whether you give 10%, 1%, it was up to you. But the people were giving 100%. But that was out of their own will. Do you see that? Now, here's the thing. And the word of God says, 3 hours later, Sapphira came in. And Peter asked him the same thing. I mean, asked her the same thing. And she lied also, not knowing what happened to the husband. By this time, the young men, young disciples had already taken the husband to bury him. And Peter says, but why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? Why did you conceive this thing in your heart? And Sapphira, the wife, was slain by the Holy Spirit. And she died. She died on the spot. Carnal-mindedness. Right? But why did God kill them? Tells you one thing. One of the reasons is this. A carnal mind is contagious. God did not want this to propagate. God did not want this to spread into the congregation. A carnal mind is contagious. One. Number two, we've already said the three other things. A carnal mind cannot, God cannot operate. A carnal mind, God cannot use. A carnal mind, God cannot bless. That's why God had to deal with it so drastically. Right? We see how drastically it was dealt with in the case of Gehazi. We see how drastically it is dealt with in the case of Ananias and his wife Sapphira. All right? Now, what does this tell us? We also must deal drastically with any vestiges of a carnal mind in us, in our lives. But I believe I'm only talking to the wise. Hallelujah. Now, verses 11 to 16. Now, this is after God dealt with the carnal mind, the carnal-mindedness. Now, let's see what happened after God dealt with it. This is the reason God dealt with it. This is the reason why we also should deal with it. Now, this is in the church setting. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people after the carnal mindset was taken out. Do you see signs and wonders? That's why we don't see many signs and wonders in our churches. Not many miracles, because of the carnal mind. There's carnality in our churches, full of carnality. That's why we don't see signs and wonders and miracles. That's why we don't see the blessings of God as we'd like to see them. There's a lot of carnality. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, yet none of the rest dared join them. But the people esteemed them highly, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord. Where there's no can, where God has dealt with the carnal mind, carnal mindedness. Right? Increasingly added. God was just adding people to the church. Why? Because the church was the right environment. Say, God, why don't you increase our church? Maybe it's not the right environment for the people that are coming. Am I talking to somebody? Yes, but where is the carnal mind? It's either is on the pulpit. It's either is on the pews. Either way, it's a carnal mind that God has to deal with it. Here's the thing, because if the carnal mind, for an example, is on the pews, when the people come in, who's going to lead them? The people on the pews. Now, people are coming from carnality, you are giving them twice the carnality they come from. God had to deal with it. Now, when God had dealt with it, God increased. Now, you can see the devil is planting the carnal mind so that there are no signs, wonders, and miracles in the church. He's planting the carnal mind so that there's no power of God in the church. He's planting the carnal mind so that no people will be healed of their sicknesses and diseases. He's planting the carnal mind so that the church will be stagnant and never grow. He's planting the carnal mind so that there will not be blessings. People won't be blessed in that church. Don't Don't you understand the agenda? Which agenda are you serving? Don't understand the agenda. Don't be a willing participant of the devil to thwart, to oppose, to hinder, to obstruct, to be a stumbling block to the work of God. No. No. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord church. God is calling for repentance. God is calling for change. God is calling for transformation. Let's understand that. Otherwise, you're going to remain in that state until Christ comes again. I mean, God moving on your behalf. How beautiful that is. God moving on your behalf. God working for you. God for you. God with you. God working for you. Change. Leave all the abandon this nonsense of carnality. You are not a church for Izindab. You're not a church for news. You didn't come to church for this one does this, this one is liked by this. You are not a church for politics. Do away with your nonsense, with your carnality. When you pay attention to these things, we are being a willing participant of the devil to destroy you and to destroy your church, to block what God is doing. We're not a church for politics. We are here a church to receive. What is God going to tell me? What is God going to say? And what God says, I'm going to stand on it and I'm going to pray on it. That's why Pastor KP during the week, he prays on the word. The people that are here, they can bear testimony to that. They pray on the word. They stand on the word. This is what God has said. They stand on it. They pray the word back to God. Oh, hallelujah. So that they brought the sick, oh my God. So that they brought the sick out into the streets. When the carnality was dealt with. And they laid them on beds and couches. Beds and couches. These people are invalid. These people are crippled. They can't move. They can't walk on their own. They are putting them on stretchers. They are bringing them. But understand something. There is a husband and there is a wife that have just died. There is a husband, there's a wife that God had just killed. Why? Because God could not move this way. God could not operate this way. If these two people were spared, if these people were there. Now people, they saw people, but they did not see the spirit behind them. Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. You are a stumbling block to me. Hey, it's not the people, it's the spirit behind the people. There are people, as long as they're in church, in some churches, the church will never grow. As long as they're in some churches, God will never move. It's the spirit behind the person. They are willing participants. So that they brought the sick out into the streets. And they lay them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits. Listen to what he says. Listen, 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 listen. And they were all healed. What causes in our churches some to be healed and not to be healed? Carnality. These believers were in one accord. One accord. We need to take the things of God seriously. Seriously. And we need to begin to ask ourselves serious questions. Why are the things in your life still remaining? Why are things in your life not working? If God is such a powerful God, if the miracles and the signs and the wonders that God performed in the Bible, if all these great healings that God has, why nothing? Why all these things are not touching you? Because your heart is untouched. You are an unbelieving believer. A carnal. Unbelieving believers are carnal Christians. They are carnally minded. God can move. God can't use them. God can't bless them. So why are we wasting time? Let's clap hands for Jesus.